Glory to God. Amen. I want to open the Bible to a passage in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And the first chapter, starting at verse 18. Praise God. All right. Just turn them off. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Everybody say, glory to God. You may be seated. Amen. I have watched God work all my life, and I'm amazed at God sometimes because he's so big, so mighty, and he can do anything that can be done in a great, magnificent way. Yet the consistency that I have seen all my life is he does things with a still small voice. Amen. He does things working with those that are weak, those who seem to not be able to become anything as the world would see as successful. God chooses these apparently unsuccessful, weak-minded sometimes, people who seemingly are going nowhere or maybe going to the wrong places doing their own things, and yet he gets glory because there's nothing good in those people. But the truth of the matter is there's nothing good in anybody. No matter how great we think we are, no matter how mighty we think we are, no matter how rich we think we are, we're all going to be on common ground when we die. Amen. It doesn't matter how rich or how poor. When you're dead, you're dead. I saw two men kneel side by side seeking for God one day after a tremendous message that was preached. One of them was a millionaire. The other was a street beggar. But they had one thing in common when they came to the altar during that service. They both needed God. Hallelujah. Because God does not base his operation on how much we have or how much we can do. or what all talent that we may be able to acquire unto ourselves as life goes on, or how much education we may have. But God does things through God and God only. And He says, if anything is in my hand, I can make it what I want it to be. And I can take that which does not seem to appear to be worthy or of any value, and I can cause it to become what I want it to be. That's why we need to just not try to figure out who can be saved or not saved. Just let everybody be a candidate for salvation. Because God can save anybody. Even those who can't think right. I got a response back there. Even those who can't talk right. Even those that can't live right. Even those who can't feel right about themselves. God can save anybody. Anybody. There is nobody that God can't save. And there's nothing God can't fix that breaks. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can do in your life that causes things to go wrong for you in your relationship that God can't mend and put back together again. Praise God. There's no amount of apologizing you can do to cause things to be corrected in your life. But all it takes is the touch of the Master's hand. Praise God. All the asking for forgiveness of the sins. Amen. We can get down and we can pound the floor and we can pray with tears and great agony, and all this is well and good. But that is not what causes the difference to be made in our life. It may contribute toward it, but when God puts us into a place of fellowship with God, it's only because of His mercy. It's only because of His wisdom. It's only because of His ability. It's only because of His love. It's only because of His compassion. All glory and honor goes only to God. Hallelujah. I saw a young man, you know, and of course there are scriptures concerning hair and so forth in the Bible. And some people go to strong extremes in two different ways and then they fight each other over these issues. But what would surprise a lot of them, here comes this man with real long hair stringing down his waist almost to his thighs, walking into our church, and his girlfriend that he lives with has real short hair up over her ears, and God wanted them to do a great work for Him. He takes all of our standards and all of our ideas and all of our ways of looking at things and says, look, you haven't got it all figured out yet. I'm God. So this is Lee. He had come at 3:00 in the morning saying, I want what Marvin has. Marvin was his co-worker on the job. Well, Marvin had recently received the Holy Ghost. Lee didn't understand. Marvin didn't drink with him anymore. He didn't go to certain places with him anymore that he used to attend. He didn't do the running around that he once did with Marvin. Marvin, or with Lee, Lee and Marvin together. They did not do the things they had once enjoyed together. You know, so much enjoyment out of getting drunk together. Getting drunk, getting high together. Getting in a barroom fight together. Coming home with bruises and cuts together. There's just so much enjoyment and all that, I suppose. But he just wasn't able to get Marvin to do those things anymore. But Marvin just kept being changed in front of him. Going to church, testifying, having victory in his heart, and telling Lee how wonderful it is just to serve God. And I remember how he showed up at my house at 3:00 in the morning, standing there side by side with Marvin. And I had been asleep that night. And he woke me up. And I went to the door, and here they were, standing side by side, Lee. And he said, I want what Marvin's got. I want what Marvin's got. Hallelujah. I want what Marvin's got. I said, what are you talking about, Lee? That holy thing. See, he didn't even know how to say Holy Ghost. As far as we could determine, Lee had never in his life prayed. He had never said a prayer, had never read a prayer, and had never even tried to pray. Lee had never held a Bible in his hand. He had never read one word out of any page of any kind of Bible. No matter what the translation, he had never looked at a Bible inside the pages, holding it in his own hand. I placed the first Bible that he ever touched into Lee's hand that night. Hallelujah. Now here's a man who knows nothing about God, has never been to church, except he was, when I discovered him for the first time, was a day or two before, when I heard this loud rock and roll music coming out of the church auditorium. He was playing my electric guitar on my sanctified holy amplifier. Amen. In our nice church, where we do things right. And I walked in rather in a hurry that day because the sound I heard coming from that church building was not what I wanted to hear coming from that church building. Loud rock and roll, and not Christian rock. And when I walked in, I saw a man with my guitar just dancing around and just playing, and that hair was just flopping in the, you know, just swaying in the breeze. And here's this long-haired looking, what I thought of as a freak, playing my loud guitar, my guitar that had been used to play, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and "How great thou art." And I thought, oh man, this is almost like blaspheme. And I wanted to say to him, "You get that guitar out of your hands. You, what do you think you are?" But when I started toward Lee, there stood Marvin with a big smile on his face, like he was so happy. I said, "What's going on, Marvin?" He said, "Lee is inside the church building. I wanted him to come and see what has me all excited. I want him to come and see what it is that I'm talking about where I go to church. Perhaps he'll come to church too." Now he said all that just before I was going to say, "You shut that amplifier off and you give me that guitar." And something stopped me from saying all that in that rough tone. I was listening to Brother Kilgore preach a sermon last night. And he was talking about how some people will come at you with, "You better obey Acts 2:38 or you're going to split hell wide open." And he said, "I'll tell you this, my brothers and my sisters. I believe Acts 2:38. I believe it's going to take being baptized in Jesus' name and having the Holy Ghost in order to please God and to go to heaven. But," he said, "I also like steak, but I want it set before me and I don't want you to slap me in the face with it." He said, "There's a difference in presenting something that's good and slapping somebody in the face with something that's good. It's a whole lot easier to accept it, whether it be good or truth or whatever it is, if it's presented rather than if it's hammered into you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I wanted to hammer something into that fellow's head that day. But something stopped. A man with a smile on his face, a new convert, recently converted, named Marvin. "Oh, Brother Rogers, he's in the church building." So all Marvin could see, he wasn't hearing the sound. He wasn't seeing what I thought I was seeing. What he was seeing, "There's hope. There's hope. We got him this far. He took a step. He walked through that door. He's standing inside this place where I worship God. He's in this place where I say hallelujah. He's in this place where I give glory to my God." So rather than say, "You give me that guitar," rather than saying, "You shouldn't play that kind of music here," amen, I said, "Well, it's nice to meet you." And you know, I didn't even felt better to say that. It felt better to say that than what I thought I was going to be saying. "It's nice to meet you, Lee. I've heard about you. Marvin's talked about you." And he just kept ding, 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 ding. Because my guitar could do all that stuff. I just never did use that part of it. Loud distortion. He'd go, hey, oh, the hair would go everywhere. Nice to meet you, Lee. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Nice to meet you, Lee. Mine started to go like this. I got to go to a barbershop. I have to go to the barbershop or quit using these cameras for live search. You got something for me there, K-Cat? All right. Or maybe I'll start a rock group around here or something. But anyway, nice to meet you, Lee. I said to him, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an urgent request for prayer for someone who doesn't want to live. Is that correct? Amen. All right. Somebody needing strength. That's all right. Jesus, we're just asking for strength for this individual right now in Jesus' name. Asking that you would help. And you can do it right now. Not because of us, but because of you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to pray for somebody. And Lord, in hopes that you will do something and receive glory and honor yourself for the work that you will do. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Nice to meet you, Lee. He said, yeah, you're a cool looking dude, so you're his preacher, huh? Eh? That's what he said. Eh? Yeah, I'm Marvin's preacher. I said, that's my guitar you're playing. Hey, I like that guitar. Ding, 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 ding. Just more distortion. I said, I play it too sometimes. Oh, you know how to play the guitar? I said, yeah, a little bit. So I said, you want me to play a song? Sure. That felt a whole lot better than just jerking it out of his hand. He handed me the guitar. Amen. And I strummed up a few notes. Not like he was used to, I don't suppose. My guitar had more than three notes involved in it. My playing did. His only had a couple of distorted sounds, but I played actually a melody on it. Because I'm old-fashioned. I still live from the time that back when music had more than three notes. And when songs had more than two words. And but I played How Great Thou Art on that guitar, giving honor to God. And he liked it. He said, that's cool. Well, here's a guy that doesn't talk the Christian jargon. He's not, you know, instead of me being called Pastor or Brother Rutledge, I'm Dude. You're a cool dude. That's how he addressed me. everything that we church people would think that it would take to have good material for God to work with was all absent. None of it was there. There was nothing there to work with. That's just what God was looking for. Hallelujah. Who was I when God found me? Who were you that was so special that God picked you instead of somebody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What good thing did I have to offer God when I came to Him? What gives me a right now to judge somebody else as to be fit for the kingdom of God or not fit? Hallelujah. Just that little bit of kindness, a little bit of not being mean, not being rough, kept, you might say, an interest alive. Not taking glory to myself, but God does use us to do these things. He uses us to do little things, small things. That's why we should show kindness, because that's a tool that God has given us. He has given us a little tool called kindness. He's given us meekness. He's given us the ability to be patient if we will use it. Long-suffering, if we will use what God has allowed us to be able to do. These are things, attributes that God has supplied for mankind. He does the big stuff. He does the things that only God can do, but He says, you be patient. You be long-suffering. You be gentle. You be kind. You be nice. Smile. Be happy. Have some faith. Look forward with some hope. Have some joy. Let your joy be known. Let your happiness show. Let your light shine, not your darkness, not your worry, not your doubt, not your fear. Let your light shine. Our light shining is more than what we know. Hallelujah. Our light shining is being able to use the tools that God has given us to bring forth glory to God and not to us. It takes somebody yielding to God to be able to be patient sometimes. And to be able to show goodness sometimes, and meekness and temperance. Hallelujah! It takes yielding to God sometimes to be able to reach somebody that God is reaching for. Hallelujah! Amen. Marvin and Lee were just there on the lunch break. They went back to work. They both went out the door smiling and happy. 3 o'clock the next morning when they showed up together. I want what Marvin's got. What does he have, Lee? That holy thing. That holy thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We went over into the church building, which was next door. Turned on the lights. Marvin went up toward the front of the church and just kind of walking back and forth. Said, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. Just talking like that. And Lee just stood there staring at him. So he walked around and said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Lee didn't know what that was. He's never seen anything like that before in his life. He just wants what Marvin's got. Marvin said, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory, thank you, my Lord Jesus, I thank you. Oh, hallelujah, and Lee's just standing there. You have to look at the guy, you'd think, hey, how are we ever going to get through to him? How are we ever going to penetrate that brain if there is one in there? How are we ever going to get this man to get from where he is to where we are? But God sees it different. He just says, you just be patient. You just be kind. You just be nice. You just be gentle. And let me be God. Let me be the judge. Let God be the judge. Let God be the one that determines what can happen. It's not our job to figure out if Lee can make it. God already knows. He loves everybody, including Lee. And He doesn't want anybody to be lost, including Lee. Or his girlfriend, Carolyn. Or their little baby. He doesn't want that child to be lost. He loves them all. Yeah, but I don't believe this should happen. I don't believe they should live like that. I don't believe it. Look, we all have our beliefs and our things that we think people shouldn't do, and we know according to the Word of God, there are a lot of things that we all should not do. But we're people, and people make mistakes, but God loves people. God loves people! Hallelujah! God loves all kinds of people! Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God loves people! And He doesn't look at our living conditions or where we're coming from or how we've lived to determine whether or not He will deal with our hearts. He wants everybody, whosoever will, to come unto Him. And the only thing He wants us to do is get out of the way and let Him come. Let them come. Encourage them to come. Love them. Hope with them. Work with them, not against them. Anyway, that's what I think I'm reading in the Bible. Somebody asked my granddaddy when he was 85 years old, how he learned so much about the Word of God. And he said, "Man, I'm just now a beginner." He'd been preaching for about 50 years. He said, just now, 85 years of age, when I finally am ready to die and I've gotten old," and he said, I'm up in years and I'm feeble in my health and I'm not getting around too good anymore, "I just now came to the point of realizing I've been trying too hard." It was really simple. Amen. "And I finally come to the place," he said, "where I realize what I need to do to become a preacher." Actually, he speaks for all of us, I believe. We work so hard trying to church people, make church people out of people. God never told us to make anybody be a church person. Hallelujah. It takes sometimes a while for some people to learn to yield or to give in to God. And we're all different. Not any two of us are alike. And you may have got the Holy Ghost as soon as you just opened your mouth and said hallelujah and started speaking in tongues. But the person beside you, it may not happen like that for them. There's nothing wrong with that person. There was nothing extra good about you. Hallelujah. Just some reason that God knows that we're all different. We're all different. God's Holy Spirit is the same for all, but we're all different. We're not all able to receive things just alike. We don't look just alike. We don't act just alike. We don't think just alike. And we don't know what everybody knows just alike. All I know to say is, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost and you want the Holy Ghost, it's promised to you. And no matter how long it takes to receive it, it's going to be worth it when it comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, isn't God good? I don't mean to be yelling. I get carried away when I think about the goodness of Jesus. The goodness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kindness of Jesus. He sent us a Savior by the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Almighty God the Spirit. Sent His only begotten Son, the flesh, a little baby born in a manger, to show us how simple it is for God. Amen. You don't have to have a great big king riding in a rich man's chariot. Praise God. You don't have to have a big motel or a great castle for the King of Kings to be in order to be the King of Kings. Just put Him in a little stable in a manger and let Him be rejected. It's all right. God knows how to bring you out of your rejection. God knows how to bring you out of your poverty. God knows how to lift you up from your conditions that don't seem like they're exactly right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who's this coming riding lowly upon an animal? Hallelujah. A borrowed one at that. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Almighty God who's able to save anybody and give all glory and honor to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't even have a grave plot. Had to borrow a tomb to be for His death. A borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. And how did He die? Like a common thief. Who would ever think that God would choose someone that would be thought of as being cursed? Even the Word of God says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And God allowed our Savior, amen, from the very foundation of God's plan, to shed blood and hang on a tree. And we talk about that, and that's why it's a stumbling block to some people. Some people just can't receive that knowledge. It's too hard to believe. A God that would allow your Savior to hang on a tree and bleed and die? And in their wisdom, they have gotten all these books and all these great writings of history to try to prove there must be another way. There has to be a different set of ideas. There has to be something better than that, because that's just beyond man's ability to think that God would choose someone crucified on a cross to be a Savior. But to those of us that believe, it brings glory to God. It brings praise forth. It brings joy to our heart to be able to talk about the cross and how He suffered and He bled and He died. And the blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah! He was crucified, but He rose again and He lives forevermore. To some it's foolishness. To others it's joy, happiness, and peace. I want what Marvin's got. How do you tell somebody like that? How do you say, you better obey Acts 2:38, Lee, or you're going to die lost? You tell him that, all he can think about is a chopping axe and two guns. Hallelujah. He never heard of Acts 2:38. He didn't even know that was in the Bible. He didn't even know Acts was in the Bible. At this point, he had never looked at a Bible. How do you approach somebody like that? And all he seemed to know how to say was, I want what Marvin's got. I want what Marvin's got. That holy thing, whatever it is, dude. You know? Hallelujah. I was scratching my head. To be honest with you, I didn't know an answer. I didn't know I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to go forward from where I was to try to help this man. All he could say was, I want what Marvin's got. We went in my little office in the back of the church, and we stood there, just looked at each other. I said, You ever had a Bible in your hand? You ever owned a Bible? No. You ever read a Bible? No. You ever prayed? No. You ever tried to talk to God? No. Hallelujah. He just stood there quietly, waiting on me to say something else. Here, let me give you a Bible. I gave him a Bible. Opened it up and I said, read this part right here. And he started reading. He read about three words. He closed and said, I want what Marvin's got. I don't understand that stuff. Dude. I don't understand that stuff. I want what Marvin's got. Hallelujah. Well, I had Marvin to come in the office with me and we prayed. We prayed for Lee. Lord, help Lee. Open his understanding. Help him, Jesus. Help us to have the wisdom to know how to get across what you have for him. In Jesus' name. There was no emotional outburst. There was no jumping and shouting. No jumping up and down, running the aisles. None of that going on. He just stood there and looked at us like, I just want what Marvin's got, and that's it, dude. We prayed. There was no change, apparently, in what we could see. There was no emotion, no tears. Just a guy with long blonde hair streaming down his back, wanting what Marvin had. Don't ever think your prayer is going unheard. Prayer is not for show. Prayer is not to impress others. And prayer is not for us to decide whether it's effective or not effective. That's God's department. He just tells us to pray always. Whether it's a dry season, a wet season, a good time, a bad time, believe God when you pray. When you pray, believe God, no matter if it feels good or not. If you don't feel like your prayer is going past the ceiling, pray anyhow. God is able to hear your prayer when you don't feel right. Hallelujah! If we have to feel like praying in order for God to hear our prayer, none of that gives God the glory. We get that glory because of how we feel. But all glory goes to God. Some of the best prayers that have ever been prayed have been quiet prayers. Almost silent prayers. Non-emotional prayers. Tearless prayers. Not what you would expect from a Holy Ghost, Holy Roller bunch of people, but a sincere heart talking to God. Hallelujah! You don't have to cry to touch God. You can, but you don't have to. You don't have to say any certain number of words. You don't have to be able to talk plain. You don't have to be able to read. All you need to be able to do is be sincere and want what Marvin's got. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. That's the way it ended that night. I gave him a Bible. He took it with him, but he acted like he wasn't interested in reading it. Didn't understand it. Saw that right off. I had him reading in Acts. He didn't understand that. I just want what Marvin's got. We had Brother Robert Bayer preaching for us that week. Next night, Brother Bayer was there, sitting on the platform. I was sitting there, Marvin was sitting there, and we were just having church. And there was a stranger in the crowd that I hadn't met before. I went back, as I usually do, to shake his hand. He was a well-groomed, nice-looking young man with fresh new haircut, and just looked like a visitor from some other church that had come to see us. We didn't have any churches like ours up where I was. I was in Dawson Creek, British Columbia. The nearest church that I had fellowship with was 250 miles away, and the pastor there hated me, so. The next one was 1,000 miles away, and he hated me too, so I just didn't have anybody. The only time I could find anything close to fellowship was a Trinitarian friend of mine, an Assembly of God pastor across town with a congregation of about 250 people. He and I would sit in the car and pray together and cry together and weep over that city together. Amen. It's okay to pray with somebody that doesn't see what you see. God loves them too. Hallelujah. And I was meeting this strange young man, this stranger, who was a young man, nice looking young man. And I introduced myself to him. I said, I'm Brother Rutledge, pastor of the church here. What is your name? He said, Lee. He said, I came to get what Marvin's got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was speechless. He didn't look the same. He was just standing there. And Brother Robert Bayer got up to preach. Now, Brother Bayer, he can preach Genesis to Revelation by memory. He knows the Bible. He has the whole Bible committed to memory. He didn't get to use that night. He got up with all this knowledge, all this ability of a lifetime of study and prayer to be able to present the Word of God in such an eloquent way. And he walked to the pulpit and he said, go ahead, get what Marvin's got. And Lee lifted both hands and started speaking in tongues. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All glory goes to God. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. That's the way God likes to do things. It's not by might. It's not by our power. It's not by our abilities. It's not by our talent. My spirit, saith the Lord. Carol was the mother of Lee's baby. I didn't know what I was going to do with this situation. I already had church people coming to me and say, you know, they're not married. They're living together, and they're not married. I knew that. They didn't have to tell me over and over. They kept telling me over and over. I mean, one time I knew it already. I was already in a dilemma. I mean, I've been raised in church. Certain ways we do things, and certainly God couldn't save them in this predicament that they're in, seems. But I tell you what, if we use what we think we know to try to figure everything out for God, we may not ever see another person find God. But God knows what God knows. He knows the heart of every individual, where we're coming from, what it takes to cause us to be able to be on fire for Jesus. Amen. I had just met Carol, his girlfriend. Lee had received the Holy Ghost. Now he was presenting me his living girlfriend, who was mother of his child, who was about 2 years old. And he wanted her to meet the pastor. I met Carol. And she said, I want what Lee's got. She wondered what her boyfriend has. And of course, my mind was trying to figure all this out. How am I going to work this out? Now, God already had it all worked out. Hallelujah. A couple of nights later, I was on my way to go talk to Lee and Carol. I was going to tell them, you know, it might be a good idea for you two to not live together and let God help you, you know, till all this gets passed. And I was on my way to talk to them, not knowing they were on their way to talk to me. And I didn't get to say anything to them. We met in the path on the way to the church. And Lee and Carol said, we've been praying. And said, Pastor Rutledge, we feel like we need to separate ourselves unto God and from each other, and at a later time have you to marry us. We'd like to have a proper wedding and be husband and wife so we can raise our child in the church. And Carol wants the Holy Ghost, and we feel like it would be better for us not to be together. It just feels like, and we've been praying, we feel like God told us to separate ourselves. I was speechless. I had this whole speech prepared in my mind. Hallelujah. Guess who got the Holy Ghost that night? Carol received the Holy Ghost. Today they are both teaching Sunday school, working in the church, filled with the Holy Ghost, winning souls to God, reading their Bible, praying, and tell others that you can have what we've got. To God be the glory. Let's praise Him. Let's stand and praise Him tonight.